The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat and salam, 1,000 times upon me, the person shall not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka. يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله صلى الله على محمد نور من نور الله مرحبا خوش آمدید welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful episode of our lovely and beautiful series The Light of Guidance Alhamdulillah The Light of Guidance is indeed the beautiful religion of Islam the universal religion the religion which me and you follow Alhamdulillah the beautiful and lovely religion of Islam. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, in this beautiful series, The Light of Guidance, we do discuss many, many, many beautiful points. And recently we were discussing some hidden diseases, those diseases which consume a person within, those diseases which are very harmful for the body internally. Yes, we all take care of our body externally, you know, of the flu, if there's any disease, any illness, we'll take antibiotics and medication same time. But we were learning about the internal and hidden diseases which destroy our heart, which destroy our spirituality, which destroy our enthusiasm of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, those diseases which we discuss jealousy, we discuss backbiting, and there are many more diseases which we will discuss in the future. But today the topic which we are going to discuss is something which leads a person and takes a person towards sin and towards disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we're going to learn about that specific part in the body which, if not controlled, it can make us do such immoral things that in the end we might even end up committing the sin of adultery and fornication, ma'azallah. And that is indeed the evil which is committed with the eyes. The evil a person sees, the illicit things a person sees, the bad things a person sees, indeed it takes him towards various sins and various actions which end up disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it leads a person towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, inshallah, we will be discussing about the sins of the eyes, the evil of the eyes, what are the harms which can be done with the eyes, and many other things pertaining to the eyes. What did the Holy Quran say about the eyes? What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say regarding the eyes? And we'll also learn about the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah. What was his method? What was his unique personality? What was his way? The way he would use his blessed eyes, inshallah. We will be discussing in today's exciting and beautiful silsila, a topic very relevant for the youngsters and for the youth of today. Because our silsila evolves around the youngsters and the youth of today, and we are trying to discuss those topics which are pertaining to the youth of today. One of those topics is indeed the eyes, because the sins which are committed with the eyes, the evil which is done with the eyes, is beyond your understanding and it is uncomprehendable. So inshallah, before we discuss our beautiful and lovely topic for today, let us take a short break here. And we will be listening to a few Madani pearls. And inshallah, as soon as we return, we will be discussing our exciting topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
الله الله الله
Especially viewers of Madani Channel, having fear of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is commanded in Quran. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says in Quran, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Meaning, and indeed, we have emphasized to those who received the books before you and to you that keep fearing Allah. So, this is a command from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that we should have fear of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Fear that one day we have to present ourselves in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We have to face accountability. We have to return to the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So we should fear from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that we should not commit any sin out of fear of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It is one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which I would like to quote with this beautiful ayah of Quran, which commands us to have fear. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, all eyes will cry except for three eyes. Out of them, one will be which would have cried in the fear of Allah. So dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, if we want to have pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, if we want to have salvation in the hereafter, and if we want that we do not cry on the day of judgment, then today we should cry out of fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, those beautiful and lovely eyes which will not cry on the day of judgment. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us amongst those blessed people whose eyes shed tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those people whose eyes cry out of the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So today's topic is regarding the evil and the sins of the eyes. And undoubtedly, if we have a look at this society, at the people around us, at the area which we are living in, we will find that majority of the wrong activities which are taking place, the credit goes to the eyes. Everything, if we have to find a base, it does go towards the eyes. Majority of the sins, we find people coming and complaining that Munasab, Ma'azallah, so and so person committed adultery. And if you have to look what's the reason of adultery, you find that it dates back and it goes back to the sin of the eyes. The beginning and the initial stage were the eyes. We find a person that Mulasab, out of the love of so and so person, and you know, drowned in the love of so and so person committed suicide, so and so person did this activity, did this action. When we look what actually happened, we see that it actually started because of the eyes. Mulasab in so and so area, you know, it's not safe for the women folk or for the females to stay in so and so place, to be in so and so place. Why? Because if you have to look what's the main problem, we see it's the eyes. It's either the eyes of the males going upon the females or the eyes of the females going upon the males. Around the globe, if we look and we see that the cases of adultery, the cases of fornication, and the cases of which wrong things are done to children and to females, what is the base of those actions, what is the base of those cases, everything goes back to the eyes. So and so person did such an action which normally a person does not do. So and so person did such an action which was new. So and so person did such an action which he doesn't do, which he didn't do it before, but he did this specific filthy and disgusting act. What's the reason? Was the eyes. Why? Because he saw something evil. Maybe he watched something evil. He watched a film, he watched a movie, he watched a series. He saw something evil and then he said, let me also try and practice that in the real world. And then he went and he did that filthy activity, that filthy act. But the base of everything went to the eyes. So majority of the problems which we have in the society today, if we have to go and see what is the base of everything, you will see it is the eyes. That because of the eyes, that person was forced to commit that filthy action. I'm saying forced because, forced in inverted commas, forced means he wasn't compelled to do that, but because of his eyes, he ended up doing that filthy act. And later on, then the regret comes. Later on, the nadamat comes. Later on, you know, the sorrow comes that, you know, I wasn't supposed to do this action. I wasn't supposed to do this filthy activity. I wasn't supposed to do this. But you wasn't supposed to, it's not going to matter now. Why? Because you were supposed to control your base, and the base was your eyes. The moment you controlled your eyes, you wouldn't have done this fornication. If you would have controlled your eyes, you wouldn't have committed this adultery. If you would have committed your eyes, you wouldn't have done this filthy act. If you would have controlled your eyes, you wouldn't have done this indecent and immoral activity. So the base of everything is you need to control your eyes. And that's why now if you go back to the Holy Quran and we see what the Holy Quran says regarding the eyes. What does the Holy Quran say about the gaze of a person? Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Nur, ayat number 30. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Allah, Allah. Oh my beloved, command the Muslim men to keep their gaze low. And further on, in verse 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Oh my beloved, command the Muslim women to keep their gaze low. Allah, Allah, Allah. The Quran has given you an answer to everything. A short, concise, and detailed answer for every problem. People say that, Mulana Sahib, the women folk are not safe. Women cannot do anything. Why? Because the men always look at the woman. So we say, yes, the Quran gave a hukum for the men that they must keep their eyes lowered, but it does not give any permission to the woman that the woman must keep on looking towards the men. Yes, there are some limits for the woman as well. The woman also need to control their eyes. The woman also need to lower their gaze as well. For a man needs to lower his gaze, but there are women in parda. There are women who cover themselves. But there are no men who cover themselves, so women should take extra precaution in this matter and they should also lower their gaze. Bibi Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was once seated, and this is narrated by Sayyida Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says that myself and Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha were present, and Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a Sahabi who was blind. So she says that this Sahabi entered, and at that time Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha did not have any preparation of parda. I mean, she didn't have a parda on. So when Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered the blessed room, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Sayyida Maymuna that and Sayyida Umm Salma that they should make parda, they should cover themselves. This is a summary of the hadith. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum is blind. He is a blind sahabi. He can't see us. So Ya Rasulullah, you are giving us the hukum, the order to make parda, but he is a blind sahabi. Allah, look at the words of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that yes, he is blind, but you are not blind. You have the ability to see. That is why you must make parda, you must cover yourselves. Allah, Allah. Who was this? Who are these? These are the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'mineena min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more closer to the believers than their own lives. And wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. That his blessed wives are the mother of the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya nisa an nabiyyi lastunnaka ahadi min an nisa. That, oh blessed wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like any other woman. You are not like the other woman in the world. You all are unique. You all are special. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that rank that they are the mother of the believers. But still the hukum was given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that make parda, cover your eyes, cover yourselves. In today's time, people associate themselves with women folk, with females. And the answer is, no, she is like my mother. No, she is like my sister. No, she is like my daughter. She is on the place of my mother. She is on the place of my daughter. Yes, she might be like your mother. She might be like your daughter. She might be like your sister, but she is not your sister. She is not your daughter. She is not your mother. When she is not your mother, not your daughter, not your sister, then you have no right to look at her with a dirty gaze and to look at her intentionally. You must make farda. You must look away. You must turn your gaze away from her. Shaitan is lurking in your blood. Shaitan is moving around you. Within a split second it will take for shaitan to divert your heart away from that mother and sister feeling, and then some evil whispers will start arousing in your heart, in your mind, in your body. And ma'azallah, ma'azallah, you might end up committing a filthy deed because of that sinful and filthy eyes of yours. So the Quran gave you a clear hukum that, my beloved, tell the men to lower their gaze, tell the woman to also lower their gaze. So men must not look at the woman, women must not look at the men, when there won't be any contact of the eyes, when there won't be any looking at each other, when there won't be any physical gaze and seeing with each other, automatically it will close the doors to many evils which are to come afterwards. Listen to what my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says with regards to the eyes. Subhanallah, Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a sudden glance at a woman. Suddenly, you know, all of a sudden you look at a woman. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, turn your eyes away. This is regarding a sudden glance, not intentionally, not purposely, not deliberately, just, you know, it happened unintentionally, you just happened to look at a woman. Regarding that, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, turn your eyes away. If for a sudden glance the hukum is turn your eyes away, then how severe will the hukum be for a person who intentionally looks towards a female and towards a non-mahram woman? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aliyul Murtada, Shere Khuda Karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, after you have cast a glance, do not cast the second glance. That is, if you suddenly cast an unintentional glance at a woman, then turn your eyes away instantly and do not look again, because the first glance is permissible but the second is prohibited. Yeah, it doesn't mean that the first glance is permissible, so a person must intentionally look towards a woman and keep on looking for long because it's one look, it's the first glance. No! Here it is mentioned unintentionally. Means all of a sudden, without your intention, you just happen to look towards a woman, immediately the hukum is you must turn your eyes away and don't look the second time. The second look will now be from shaitan. The second look will now be your nafs, your desires, taking your eyes and diverting your attention towards that woman. Likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned a very beautiful statement. If a Muslim looks once at the beauty of a woman unintentionally and then lowers his eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him such a worship that he will feel its pleasure. He will feel the pleasure of the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how you will get this reward is when you look unintentionally and then you lower your gaze out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today people complain, Munasab, there is no sweetness in my ibadat. There is no taste in my ibadat. I perform salah, I keep fast, I give zakat, but I don't feel the pleasure of performing this ibadat. Then ask yourself the question that you are performing the ibadat, you are performing salah, you are giving zakat, you are fasting. At the same time, are you not using your eyes for filthy things? Are you not using your eyes for disgusting things? Are you not using your eyes to look towards illicit and filthy material? If the answer is yes, then you answered your question. How do you expect to gain the pleasure of ibadat? How do you expect to gain the sweetness of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when your eyes are filled with disgust and evil things? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to protect these eyes of ours. Rajad al-Islam Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali alayhi rahmatullahi al-wali has narrated, whoever fills his eyes with something haram, his eyes will be filled with fire on the judgment day. Allah, Allah, Allah. Sayyidina Allama Abu al-Faraj Abdurrahman bin Jawzi alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi reports, looking at a woman's beauty is one of the poison-tipped arrows of the devil, of shaitan. Whoever does not protect his eyes from a non-mahram, a needle of fire will be passed through his eyes on the judgment day. Allah, a needle of fire will be passed through his eyes. Today, if you are seated and it gets a bit windy, and from somewhere, you know, a small speck of dirt just flies in our eyes. Or let's say sometimes your eyelashes, you know, turn and twist and they end up in your eye. How much pain does it give you? You know, you have this sort of restlessness. You can do anything just to take out that eye. You'll tell someone to blow, you'll put water, you'll start rubbing your eyes, and immediately your eye will start becoming red. Why? Because your eye is very sensitive. It can't even tolerate the slightest pain. As soon as something just touches your eyes, you start feeling very uneasy. What is the punishment for that person who doesn't protect his eyes from non-mahram? A needle of fire will be passed through his eyes. Needles of fire, a needle of fire will be put through your eyes. You can't tolerate an eyelash, a small eyelash in that eye of yours. How will you tolerate a needle of fire in those eyes of yours? If you can't tolerate the needle of fire, and by Allah, you will never be able to tolerate it, then now repent and save yourself from the disgust and the filthy activity of looking towards haram and looking towards non-mahram woman. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Ghazali, alayhi rahmatullahi al-Wali, states, a man who cannot shut his eyes cannot protect his private parts either. Allah, Allah. Sayyidina Isa, ruhullah, al-Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, said, protect your sight. It sows the seed of lust in the heart. This is enough for fitna, for trouble. Sayyidina Fudail, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said, the devil says, shaitan says, looking is an old bow and arrow of mine which never misses its target. The base of everything is looking, as I mentioned in the beginning. At first a person looks. What that looking, what that gaze, the desire now comes in his heart, in his mind. Then he starts thinking of different things. Then he starts desiring to do many filthy things. And in the end, being controlled by his lust, a person then goes and destroys himself and he commits the filthy and disgusting action. Why? Because of his eyes. Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul Ridwan says, first the eyes get misled, then the heart gets misled, and then the sitr, the private parts, get misled. So everything starts from the eyes. The moment you learn how to control your eyes, by Allah, you will see many problems, many difficulties will now be controlled. People's houses were destroyed because someone doesn't know how to protect the eyes. A person is married lawfully, but still his eyes is wandering around different women, around those women who are not halal for him. He has a wife, and what happens in the end is suspicion starts rising, and then, you know, problems and shouting and difficulties. In the end, it can also end up breaking the marriage and separation takes place. Why? Because the husband couldn't control his eyes. Similarly with the wife. The wife will go around and look at non-mahram men, and, you know, lustfully she'll go and look at all these filthy things. In the end, somewhere down the line, the conclusion comes that a separation takes place between both of them. Because she had a husband, but she wanted to look at others. The husband had a wife, but he wanted to look towards others. Is this not happening with the youngsters today? Is this not happening with the youth of in today's time? Where a person goes to college, a person goes to school, the parents send the children, you know, happily, that my son is going to study, my daughter is going to study, whatever the case is, they send. And then I ask you, how many cases come where filthy actions are being done and the responsible people are the youngsters? And if you ask the youngsters why, then one answer comes was because they were watching filthy things. They're watching illicit material. They're watching filthy, they're going to different filthy websites, and then they're going to filthy places, and they are committing the sins of the eyes. And then when they cannot, you know, fulfill that lust within themselves because they're not married, they don't know what to do, in the end they go and commit the filthy sin of zina, of fornication, of adultery, and many other sins they commit, and they destroy their lives, they destroy their youth, they destroy everything. What did they destroy? The reputation of their family, their friends, and everyone around them. Why? Because they didn't know how to control their eyes. we have to look around, we have to do this, we have to do that. But did you listen to what Mullah Sahib was saying about the harms of not controlling the eyes? Unnecessarily, ask yourself this question. Unnecessarily, we'll be looking around. Unnecessarily, we'll be looking at those things which we weren't supposed to be looking at. Unnecessarily, we'll be busy with that. And the cherry on top of the cake is today everyone has social media. Everyone has cell phones. Everyone has tablets. Everyone has laptops. The son will go in one corner in the room and he'll close the door. And the father will never know what the son is watching. Daughter will go in one corner of the room, she'll lock her door. Father will never know what the daughter is watching. And the father is not even interested in asking his children that, what are you watching? What are you all seeing? You'll never find a son going in one corner and locking the room and then going and listening to a lecture of some Sunni scholar. Then going and listening to, watching Madani channel. Then going and listening to some Islamic activities. No! For that, he will never lock the door. If your son is locking the door, your daughter is locking the door, she is going somewhere secretly, he is going somewhere secretly, then a question should come in your heart and mind that, what are they watching? I tell you, can you give me guarantee that Shaitan is not with them? Can you give me the guarantee that they will not, their eyes will not move, their eyes will not go towards the evil and illicit things? Yes, your son might be a very righteous person. Maybe he only focuses on his studies. He only knows what to watch, what not to watch. But any moment, something can happen. And his sight can slip. That one slip is enough. You know, just that one taste which he gets, the disgusting and filthy taste he will get, will eventually take him towards the filth and towards the evil. Thousands and thousands of people are getting destroyed regularly because of different activities happening in the world. People are destroying the youth, people are destroying everything around them, especially in colleges and universities, and the base of everything is the eyes. And then the questions come to us, Masab, I did all of this, now what should I do? Masab, I did all of this, now what should I do? But then it sometimes becomes too late. Yes, a person makes tawbah from the bottom of his heart. A person asks for repentance from the bottom of his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. But the damage you cause to yourself, the damage you cause to the lady, the female with you, the damage you cause to your reputation, the damage you cause to your family's reputation, that can never be restored. Don't we ever think about this? Just for a moment, a person commits a filthy act. And for the pleasure of that time, he does it. But he doesn't worry about the consequences and the aftermath. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali alayhi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned a very beautiful statement. And if we can tie this to our brains, to our minds, to our hearts, by Allah, many of our problems will be solved. And he said that never ever leave a good deed because it is difficult. Any good deed. Because the difficulty will finish. Right? But the good deed, the sawab will remain. A person doesn't wakes up for Fajr Salah and the water is cold, it's winter. He doesn't want to perform Fajr Salah. So he leaves it. Why? It was difficult to go and make wuzu. It was difficult to go and use that cold water in this cold weather. So he left that Fajr Salah. He got the sun. But if he would have gone and performed the wuzu, yes, he would have felt cold. He would get double reward for using that cold water in that cold weather. And then he would perform his salah. Eventually, after some time, he would go in front of a heater. After some time, he'll start feeling warm. And so the difficulty of that coldness is finished. But the sawab of performing the salah will remain. So Imam Ghazali says, never ever leave a good action because of difficulty. Why? The difficulty will finish, but the good action will remain. Then he says, never ever commit an evil and bad deed because of the pleasure. Because of the taste. Why? The pleasure will finish, but the sin will remain. The sin is not going to finish. And that's my message which I want to pass to you all. That with these eyes, a person commits many filthy things. Why? Just for that moment. He wants to see many things. Because he can't achieve it, so he wants to see it, he wants to observe it, he wants to look at those things with his eyes and commit those filthy activities. Why? Just for a few moments of pleasure. And afterwards he does regret it. But those few moments of pleasure he took and he committed that sin, that is what Imam Ghazali is saying, that don't commit this sin because of the pleasure. The pleasure will finish, but that sin will remain. How long is the pleasure? 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, then finish. Then you have nothing to do. The only thing you will do is regret. And this happens. Those that are listening to me, the youngsters that are listening to me, you'll know what I'm speaking facts. That's just, you'll do many sins at that moment for the love of the, for the pleasure of the moment. And immediately after that finishes, the nadamat, the sorrow, the regret comes in your heart. That's why you go to Mulana Sahib. That's why you start asking Mulana, now what must you do? We already did this. Why couldn't you control yourself before you did it? If you would have controlled yourself before you did it, this outcome, this situation wouldn't have happened. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to protect our eyes, and whenever we think of a sin, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to leave the sin out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, 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 subhanallah. Whenever a person commits a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does say that do not be hopeless from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever a person commits a sin, he should immediately do a good deed. And he should do a good deed to cover up for that sin. Like Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the Prophet of Mankind, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advised me, whenever you do something evil, do any good deed after it. This good deed will erase the evil. So he said, I humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying La ilaha illallah a good deed? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, this is the best of good deeds. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the best of good deeds. Nobody should think that, okay, now I got a formula. Whenever I commit a sin, I'll just say La ilaha illallah and it will be done. No, 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 no. In some cases, if a person commits a sin with this intention that he'll make tawbah later on, in some severe cases, this can end up being kufr and it can be disbelief. This is actually mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That let me commit this sin, I'll make tawbah later on. Let me do this filthy activity, I'll make tawbah later on. This is joking with Islam, this is joking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should always save himself from committing sins. A person should always avoid sins. And as human being, if a person can't do anything and unintentionally he ended up committing a filthy sin, then the first thing you should do is regret it, then make tawbah, then immediately do something good and cover up for the evil and bad activity which he did. When a person feels remorse, when a person has that shame in his heart, you know how that is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A very beautiful incident. Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, in the time of Sayyidina Musa Kalimullah alayhi salam, a famine occurred. So people requested Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam to make dua for rain, that there was no rain. So Musa alayhi salam said, come with me to the mountain. So he took the people to the mountain. And then he made an announcement that anyone who has ever committed a sin must not accompany me. So when people heard this, everyone went back. So there was only one person, a one-eyed man. He was accompanying Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam asked, did you not hear what I said? I said, anyone who has ever committed a sin should go back. So he said, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not remember ever committing a sin. However, there is one thing. So Musa alayhi salam asked, what is that? So he said, once I looked into someone's house with the eyes. I looked into someone's house with one of my eyes and saw that someone was standing inside. So I feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and felt extremely shameful for looking in this in another person's house. It wasn't my right. It wasn't right for me to do that. I felt shameful. And overcome with this remorse, with this regret, what I did was, I plucked out that eye that looked into that house and I threw that eye away. And he says, "Oh Musa, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell me, if that was a sin, then I will return as well." Allah, Allah, Allah. Musa alayhi salam took the men with him. And when they reached the mountain, Musa alayhi salam said to the men that make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. Who is this? A Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Prophet who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes kalam with. He makes kalam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Prophet is telling this person that make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. Allah, Allah, that person make dua. Ya Quddus, Ya Quddus. Your treasure never ends. And miserliness is not your attribute. Ya Allah, you are very generous. Shower rain upon us out of your grace and generosity. It is mentioned that immediately it began to rain. And by the time Musa alayhi salam and this person came back from the mountain, they returned from the mountain, both of them were soaked in the rain. Allah, Allah, Allah. Look how excellent is this quality. That first this person committed the sin with his eyes. He looked into someone's house, you know, and was, he looked and he felt so remorse that he took out that eye and threw it away. This action of remorse was accepted so much in the court of Allah that he made dua in the court of Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent rain from the skies. Subhanallah. How great his rank became that Musa alayhi salam told him that you make dua in the court of Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is another filthy act which we have. We don't only commit the sins by looking at evil things. Yes, this is also a sin where a person goes and deliberately looks in the house of somebody else. A person deliberately goes and looks in the room of somebody else. That person might be doing something private. That person might be doing something which is not meant for you to see. And you went and looked into the privacy of someone. Where does Islam permit you to commit this filthy deed? This is a common habit which happens. People have a habit of doing this. They'll be walking, and while walking, they want to look in other people's business. They want to interfere in other people's house, in their rooms, in their private matters. Islam does not permit you to do that. So with these eyes, don't just think that only if you're watching a movie, it's a sin. Only if you're watching something, it's a sin. No! Looking at haram is also a sin. Looking at non-mahram woman is also a sin. Looking at filthy things is also a sin. Watching the movie is also a sin. Watching the series, watching the film is also a sin. Looking into someone's house deliberately, intentionally is also a sin. It's also something wrong. It's also which Islam prohibits you from. So these eyes are something which need to be controlled. And the moment you can control your eyes, the moment you can lower your gaze, the moment you keep your eyes down, that's the time where a person starts becoming successful. Let us listen. Subhanallah, we did say we will listen about and we will learn about the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the blessed and beloved eyes of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. That narration, they discussed that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look at someone, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't look at someone in a sneaking way. He wouldn't look at someone in a sly manner. Means his look was not that, you know, somebody will now start feeling uneasy or someone will start feeling uncomfortable. This is also one of the things which people do. You know, their eyes are so bad that they'll make you scared, they'll make you shiver, they'll make you start trembling. And they'll give you that sneak look as if you've done something wrong, you have committed something bad. This is also a bad quality. And my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to keep his eyes lowered. This is sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this sunnah there is salvation. Every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is excellent. And this sunnah is also extremely excellent. Because if a person learns how to keep his gaze lowered and learns how to control his eyes, by Allah, he is closing the doors to many evil which are going to come. With these few words, we are coming towards the end of our beautiful silsila. Unfortunately, we have come towards the end of our silsila. And the words which I want to leave you all with, the message I want to leave you all with is a person should always remain fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should learn the method and the way of controlling his eyes. A person should learn the method of lowering his gaze. And especially for the youngsters, the youth that are listening to me, my message for you is in your universities, in your colleges, in your schools, wherever you are, whether you are alone, whether you are with people, please protect your eyes. This eyes of yours is one of the most used tools for shaitan, that through these eyes, shaitan can can make you commit many filthy and disgusting actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to control our eyes, and may He make these eyes such that we see the Rozai Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mubarak Gumbad Khazra of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may these eyes always be drowned in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the love of Medina. Wanoor de mere parwardigar aankhon mein ke jalwa gar rahe rukh ki bahar aankhon mein unhein na dekha, to kis kaam ki hai ye aankhein کہ دیکھنے کی ہے ساری اللہ اللہ کہ دیکھنے کی ہے ساری بہار آنکھوں میں وہ سبز سبز نظر آ رہا ہے گنبد سبز قرار آ گیا یوں بے قرار آنکھوں میں سبحان اللہ اور پیا ہے جام محبت جو آپ نے نوری ہمیشہ اس کا رہے گا خمار آنکھوں میں may Allah سبحانہ وتعالی grant us the ability to control these eyes of ours and may these eyes be drawn in the love of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم remember instill the love of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم in your hearts the hearts of your beloved and the hearts of those around you because this love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the base of your iman it's the base of everything if there is no love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam there is no iman there is nothing till then be happy remain happy stay happy be positive think positive and stay positive and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your hearts and may he keep everyone happy assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam
the light of guidance 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 The light of guidance, the light of guidance.